Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's not the men in my life that matters. It's the life in my men.
Hello, I'm Charlie Baker and welcome to Glory Hunters on Talk Sport, the show that aims to find the smartest celebrity fans in football. It's a competition that includes teams from all divisions, as our guests have the honour of representing the side they've always supported. The winning club will progress to the next round, while the losers will be permanently prorogued. But who will be victorious and who will be vanquished is up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Yes, welcome to Glory Hunters. Now, there's a distinctly athletic feel to one of our sides today, because joining us, Captain Ewan Thomas. Hello, Captain.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back, Ewan. And alongside you is fellow Olympic sprinter Chris Akabusi. Hello, Chris.
And the Mike Smith posse. We train the Southampton team, Solent and all that sort of stuff.
Same
Let's
coach.
Drop the baton, so here we go, fella.
Yeah.
There we are.
Although, obviously, we're not Team Southampton, we're West Ham.
Yeah.
Okay. So who's your trainer that you said then?
Mike Smith.
Mike Smith.
The great Mike Smith trained Ewan, trained Roger Black, trained Todd Bennett, Donna Hartley, and then a little guy who did a little bit of hurdles, the Akabusi man. Yeah. We all joined in, didn't we? We would have laughed down there.
We did.
Just do hill ones, up Thornhill, mashing up the hill, mashing up, dying to death. We came back to the boys' club, did some circuits. Can you understand me? Can I speak English?
I can understand. I think your energy is absolutely wonderful, Chris.
So you make me
sound like I'm like a bit too relaxed. He's good. Ewan, what do you remember of Chris in training? Was he always there, giving 110%?
Honestly, I've said this before, and I don't mind saying that. I took up athletics because of this man. I remember watching him, 1991, World Championships, 4x4. He was taking on the 400 world champion, Antonio Pettigrew. Chris, obviously a hurdler. Last leg, no fear, went past him. Britain became world champions, and I watched that in bed as about 16-year-old and went, wow, I feel proud to be British. I'd love to be an athlete. And the next year, I took it up, and the rest is history.
Yeah, fantastic. That's
inspirational man. Great bloke.
Brilliant. No, and it's brilliant to see Ewan come and join us, and then obviously to see him then go on and actually go and supersede my time, supersede Roger's time. And for me, there's a big picture of him, and because he's Welsh, in case you don't know, and him and Jamie Bolsh in the Commonwealth Games running down in one of the semi-finals, looking at each other, jogging along like that, and running like, boom, boom, 44 and bits. My gosh, I've run all year for that, and he's jogging like that. So there you go.
What's that like, genuinely, when you see sort of a protege of your own person going past your time?
Well, of course, it's brilliant. You know, it's brilliant to see someone who comes and joins your group. Quite clearly a talented lad. He was a big, strong lad, but also dedicated and committed to actually getting there. There was a couple of times where Ewan had a couple of internal challenges, came down, spoke to the old man. I was a very, very old man then again. Got the old man out of himself again, and boom, went and won all the honours. It's brilliant to be involved in this story.
It's a nicer story. Let me interrupt him there. Chris very kindly saw I was going through a bit of a bad year. I'd had a couple of injuries. I wasn't running as well as I could, and he phoned me up. He said, look, I still live locally. Come round to my house. And I went round, and his big gates open, and went down his driveway. And I was like, wow, you can have this from athletics. He said, sort yourself out, and one day you could live in a gaff like this. And that was it.
I don't need the chat, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah, honestly, helped me a lot in my career.
And what about football, Chris? Obviously, it's a football quiz.
Yeah.
Big West Ham fan?
Mighty West Ham. I started supporting West Ham in 1969. I supported them because Clive Best was the only black player. Well, actually, no, I'm telling Paul Keyes, there's another guy called Adekoke, but you don't know who he is. But Clyde Best was, and Adekoke, the only players in the first division at that time, and they were playing for West Ham. Yeah. And so I went over there, and I've been hooked ever since. Yeah, saw Bobby Moore, sort of Trevor Brooking, you know, all the greats. And yeah, West Ham was a fashionable club, of course, 66 World Cup and all that, but actually played great football. You know, great, classy football.
Academy and all that,
all that sort of stuff. So I've always enjoyed myself over there. We don't win much, but we don't need to, as long as you beat Dirty Spurs. Actually, in my day, in my day, it was Millwall.
Oh, right.
You
know,
you had
okay.
to beat Millwall. But now it's Dirty Spurs, because Millwall, who are they?
Oh, this is a shame.
I've gone silent.
Oh, look,
I spilled my drink.
He spilled your water. That was Millwall.
He's gone off. That's a Millwall. He spilled his water. It's going off. I've got to tell you, though, we played Millwall over there once. And I, you know, I was a sportsman. I was well known. And I got there with my daughter and I flung her right and I was in the wrong half. And these guys went, mate, I know you're a runner, but you ain't that good. You're in the wrong end, son.
I'll let you get out.
Okay, sir. I'll call them sir then.
What about yourself? Do you play? Have you got a good touch?
No, I'm totally garbage. I mean, obviously, like a schoolboy, I wanted to play for West Ham, scored a Golden Cup final. I mean, I can run quickly, but you've got to take the ball with you.
Yeah.
So it's a little problem there. I enjoy the game. You know, I love going to football. I've got two season tickets. West Ham played great at the weekend against Norwich. It's just brilliant when football's flowing and you're in that theatre and you're with the crowd and you're jumping out of your seat and you're loving it. And even actually, when he goes Pete Tong, even when you've got your head in your hands, there's something about that when you do it with other people that makes it fun.
The emotional response.
Yeah,
brilliant,
it's brilliant.
It? Well, it's so nice to have you both here.
Thank you
this
very
week.
Much.
And I'm no stranger to the relay. Of course, Natalie, as we found out the other week, our other team is Natalie Sawyer, captain by Natalie Sawyer.
4 years unbeaten in a relay team for my school.
Just tell us the story from the start, Natalie.
It's really not much to it.
Come on, tell us about it.
Jeez,
you don't know, actually, Chris, who you're sitting with here is the Chiswick Community School relay captain.
Chiswick's nice.
Yeah. Second leg, was it? Second leg, was it?
Second leg, yeah.
And unbeaten for how long?
4 years in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was it 4x1 or 4x4 relay?
4x1.
Good question, Ewan.
Okay.
Technical question there from
you. I was a sprinter. Couldn't do any more than about 100 metres.
Sports presenting gain is tracking food athletics loss, it sounds like to me.
I think so.
Anyway.
And joining on your team is a comedian.
Did you just have to look down for my name?
No.
We've been together for 10 years, mate.
No, because it says here in my script, and I was deciding whether to read it or not. Alongside you is the best comedian to ever come out of Devon.
Oh.
Which does upset me a bit. And he doesn't even need to bang on about Devon all the time.
No.
We get it, Charlie, you're from Devon. Get over it. That's what it says in the script.
Yeah, no. I think it's all quite, that's been fact checked.
Comedian and presenter and very good friend of mine, Josh Wedekaya. Josh.
I'm good, actually, yeah. Delighted with that. I didn't realise I was about to say I didn't realise I was with so many sporting kind of gods, but these two, I understand.
Yeah, but Sawyer.
Sawyer?
On the second leg.
It's a surprise, I know.
Any similar records for you at South Dartmoor Community College?
No, primary school, Islington Primary School. 1 year, so what was this, about 92? When I was about 9 or 10. There was a national competition where we all had to put in our times for the 50 metres.
All right.
Yeah, now your ears are pricked up. So four kids from my school, all in the top 100 in the year of nationally.
Yeah.
And then my mum pointed out it was because our 50 metres track was downhill. So our times were astonishing.
Amazing.
And also, last 10 metres, we'd have to slow up to avoid those stinging nettles at the end. So it was proper good.
Almost too fast.
Almost too fast, mate.
It's unbelievable.
Obviously, with the relay at my school, first leg was like 5 seconds, and the second leg back up the hill was...
Yeah, terrible. They were really slow. Yeah. You needed Sawyer on the second leg.
Exactly. I won the dressing up race 2 years in a row at primary school. Did you have that?
No, we didn't have that.
Well, I know of it.
Yeah.
What did you dress up as, Josh?
No, so what you'd do is you'd run for a bit, and then you'd have to put on coat, wellies, hat, and then you'd run to the end and that, go back, take it all off and get to the end.
For some reason, Chris, I think you'd have excelled at that. If halfway round, you know, in your 4x1s or your 4x4s.
No, the hurdles.
The hurdles.
The hurdles.
Yes,
every
the hurdles.
35 metres, you've got to put on a piece of kit.
What about take something off?
You don't want to see that. You don't want to see that, Ewan. You don't want to see that.
Every hurdle, something comes off. Yeah. Oh. Good idea.
Wonder why he's wearing four pairs of socks. Yeah. Yeah.
I wondered if Chris Akabusi would be like I imagined. And he is.
In many ways, even more
yeah.
so.
In many ways. Do you know what? That TV screen really tones him down.
Now, you today, I find this very difficult to say, you're representing the second worst team in the country, Plymouth Argyle.
Well, not according to the league table.
Okay.
Yes.
I have to ask you a question now about Plymouth
Argyle. Do
you hate
Plymouth Argyle?
I hate Plymouth
Argyle. Why do you hate Plymouth Argyle? We're fine with talking.
I don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't like Exeter City and I don't like Plymouth Argyle.
I don't see it as a rivalry, though.
Exeter are worse than Plymouth, in my view.
I don't understand how it's a rivalry when we're not even in the, we haven't been in the same division for years.
Well, I think you're very rude. So, it says here I'm contractually obliged to ask you a question about Plymouth yep. Argyle.
Okay.
What is life like for an Argyle fan at the moment?
It's good at the moment.
Good, thank you. Josh Widdicombe. Josh Widdicombe there. So, the scene is set for West Ham v Plymouth. It's jelly deals v pasties. So, to see who goes first, listen to this clip and a question will follow.
I think you've got to send Alex Ferguson a tape of this game, haven't you? Isn't that what he asked for? I mean, that sort of stuff. We're bigger than that. Okay. When you do that with footballers, like he said about Leeds, and when you do things like that about a man like Stuart Pearce, I've kept really quiet, but I'll tell you something. He went down in my estimation when he said that. We have not resorted to that, but I'll tell you, you can tell him now if you're watching it, we're still fighting for this title. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
There we are, Kevin Keegan there with his famous rant. The question I'm going to ask you, West Ham and Plymouth Argyle. Start with you, West Ham. How many points did Man United beat Newcastle by to win the league title in 1996? How many points did Man United beat Newcastle by to win the league title in 1996?
It was quite close, obviously, then towards the end. But then didn't it fall apart for Newcastle,
yeah,
did it? So
yeah,
they went
yeah.
past them. I reckon it's going to be at least three. Can we do betweens or you have to have exact?
Oh, an exact number, please, Ewan.
At least.
I think that's a good number.
Should we go for three then?
Yeah, he's gone for 3 points. Natalie and Josh play for Plymouth Argyle.
Well, I think more. Because I do think they fell away a little bit towards
do
the end.
Do you?
I
think it came down to the last day of the season.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think Man U had to win and then they did.
Okay.
So that would hint it was within three. We can either go two or four. Because they're...
But we'll win yeah. either way.
Do you want to go four then?
No. You seem more sure of it. I can't remember it at all, really.
Okay,
apart
well
from the famous rant and stuff. So
yeah, should we go
let's
two?
Let's go two.
You've gone for two. The answer is four.
Oh, it's
bad news! Bad news for Widdicombe there and Plymouth Argyle. An early loss. Yes.
So sorry.
Good.
You know what?
Get a bias in.
No way, bias.
I was so sure it was three. I thought it doesn't really matter, eh?
To me, growing old is great. It's the best thing considering the alternative.
It's time for the round that we call...
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
My club's bigger than your club. So West Ham, Chris and Ewan, you're going to go first. You have 30 seconds to tell us why West Ham is a bigger club than Plymouth Argyle.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, really. West Ham's bigger than Argyle because bigger city, bigger place. We're north, they're south. North is always at the top, isn't it? North is always at the top, south is at the bottom. If you go north from West Ham, you go to the Highlands, that's the highest place in the United Kingdom. You go to Plymouth, you go south, you're in the water. When you're in the water, you're in the deep, deep depths of the water. So I've got absolutely no doubt that we're bigger than them. And also, what about the roads? We've got more roads going out of us. You can go north, you can go M11, you can go A12, A13, you can go around the North Circular, you can go anywhere, you're A1. When you're in Plymouth, where'd you go? You go down to Cornwall, Exeter, and then you can go east, Dorset, finished. South, you're in France, you're in Guernsey, you're in Jersey. So quite a small club down in Plymouth, Argyle. When you're up here with us, massive club, massive area, massive people. Have you seen the Londoners? Massive, beefy people. Seen them in Plymouth, little jelly deals. So small people, small place, small roads, living in the water, they're deep, we're big, we're tall, get in!
There we are, Chris Akabusi there.
Wow.
No pressure.
It's very geography based. Chris, wasn't it? And you seem to get obsessed with roads at one point.
Yeah.
But also the roads around, I'd say the most difficult stadium to get to in the whole country is the West Ham London Stadium.
No.
I'd say that is, it's impossible to get
A12,
there.
A12, you're in, no
problem. Especially by a road.
Back in the day, yeah. Back in the day, when it was Upton Park. Now, yes, no
Ewan.
Problem.
I think he deserves to win just for stretching 30 seconds into 2.5 minutes.
I mean, that's how he won so many medals. No, it's very good. I'll do points at the end, but I did enjoy it very, very much. Same rules apply.
Josh, so name as many roads around Plymouth as possible.
Why is Plymouth...
It's just about transport links. Who knew?
Why is Plymouth a bigger club than West Ham? Your time starts now.
Well, the A38 for a start. So, Plymouth, it's all about potential, right? Plymouth is the biggest city in the world to have never had a top division team. It's stat. All there. Yeah? It's stat all there. Attack. Stat attack, right? It's all there for you. Plymouth is a unique team. If I say United to mean West Ham United, everyone thinks I mean Man U. They're not even the biggest United. We are the biggest Argyle there is. If I say Argyle, you know what I'm talking about. We're the only team that wears green, apart from Yeovil, but we don't talk about them. Yeah, any other reasons? Yes. West Ham, part of London. There's roads leading to bigger clubs. We're 50 miles away from another league club. There's no one there. There's no one down there. We're the only team that... If some Middle Eastern sheikh came in with £1 billion to invest, they would be much wiser to invest it in Plymouth than they would in West Ham, particularly because I've been to that West Ham ground and ours can expand out. It's in a park. We could go to 200,000. That West Ham ground, they can't even fill it to the pitch. Also, just to be clear, if you go up from West Ham, you don't get to the Highlands. That's not how it works. Are we not picking up on that?
And there's the bell. Well, it was very, very good. You can give me a applaud him if you want, Chris.
Yeah. Well done, fella. Well done. You're trying.
It was very, very good. You gave a lot of good stats. Interesting. The biggest city in the world, which I thought you were going to stop at that point.
Yeah, with the biggest point, city in the world.
I don't think that is true about Plymouth.
So I've never had a top division team since Hull got in the Premier League.
Great stat.
Yep.
Yeovil Town now in the National League, so not even in the league anymore. So you are the only team that playing green.
With the only Argyle.
The only Argyle. These were all good stats. And then you demolished Chris's Rhodes argument. Just one by one. You took his argument apart.
You go just
apart.
Up from West Ham, you're in the Highlands.
Just north.
Just north.
Just Stirling. North. Sterling, just north of West Ham.
By the Highlands, do you mean High Wycombe?
No, it's Ali Pally, mate. You're just up the road. You're Ali Pally, isn't you?
Right. There we are. It was an excellent round. Chris Akabusi and Ewan Thomas and West Ham, I'm going to give you 7 goals. And I'm going to give Josh and Natalie 9 goals.
Oh!
It's a high-scoring match, that, isn't it? 9-7.
Okay. Next up, former Leeds, Man City and England defender Danny Mills shares some of his favourite quotes from the worlds of sport and show business. All you have to do is tell us who said it originally. I'm going to give both teams the option of either home or away. So for Chris and Ewan, home means sport. For Josh and Natalie, it's show business. If you choose to play away, however, it's worth 2 goals. I mean, where have we got this idea from? Chris and Ewan, you went first in the last round. So Natalie and Josh, you're going to go first in this. Mm-hmm. Would you like to go home for show business or away for sport?
Well, I think we know more about sport than we do about show business. And it's worth twice as many points.
Well, let's give it a go.
Are you happy with sport?
Yeah, let's give it a go.
Let's
Why not?
A sport?
Yeah.
I hope we're right.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
I definitely want him to be christened. I just don't know what religion yet.
Was it A, David Beckham, B, Wayne Rooney, C, Michael Owen? I definitely want him to be christened. I just don't know what religion yet. Beckham, Rooney, Owen.
Well, I've met David Beckham.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Where did you meet David Beckham, Josh?
When I worked in Waterstones, he was doing a signing.
Oh.
And I was dispatched to buy him a Whopper and some Haribo.
What a lovely story.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't a punchline
to
that, but I can tell you.
It's a lovely anecdote.
Yeah,
and you worked at Waterstones. Were you allowed to get a book signed?
No, because you had to queue up. And so it wouldn't have been...
Yeah, but you were there with the Whopper and the sweets.
Yeah, surely he gave you...
I wasn't allowed to take them to him.
Oh.
I wasn't... There was an intermediary who had to... It was like the Whopper and sweets intermediary who would take them from me to him. It was a really exciting day because that day I almost also met Gordon Burns from the Krypton Factor. So it was.
I mean,
You're excited, Natalie. Now you're on board.
Krypton Factor. Oh wow!
Natalie's face when I said that was like I met Nelson Mandela.
What did Gordon want? A Big Mac or chicken fillet box?
He just made me do this assault course.
I love.
I definitely wanted to be christened. I just don't know what religion yet. Oh. Beckham, Rooney, or Owen.
I don't think it's Beckham.
Well, I don't think it's Owen. I just can't imagine he would.
So should we go Rooney? Yeah. Should we go Rooney?
I think let's go Rooney.
You've gone for Wayne Rooney. B, the answer is David Beckham.
Oh, one guy we met.
Do you know why, though? He was off his face on the sugar from the Haribo. He didn't know what he was saying.
Didn't know
what
he was all over it.
All over it.
Okay, well, Ewan and Chris, you've got a chance to
reckon,
take
away
some points here.
Well,
get some,
I think
get
we
some
go home
back
now, because they've just done a wicket, haven't they? They've done an own goal.
If we go away, we can get double points.
Go for it. You're
Showbiz
the captain. You're
gonna sport, gentlemen.
Should we just go for it?
You're the captain, yeah. You
sure?
Yeah.
Right, let's go for it. Showbiz, we're going
let's
away.
Go Showbiz, here we go. Show business. Here's the quote from Danny Mills.
Someone just gave me a shower radio. Thanks a lot. Do you really want music in the shower? I guess there's no better place to dance on a wet surface than next to a glass door.
Who said that? Was it A, Jerry Seinfeld, B, Graham Norton, C, Jonathan Ross? Seinfeld, Norton, Ross.
Big names.
I reckon
who
Norton
said it?
I reckon Graham Norton. That's just my gut feeling, but I've got
someone just gave me a shower radio. Thanks a lot. Do you really want music in the shower? I guess there's no better place to dance than on a wet surface next to a glass door. Seinfeld, Norton, Ross.
Just as an aside, Charlie, I've met all three of them.
Oh, look at that. All right. Do they want any bar food?
Norton or Wossie? Wossie.
I agree. One of those two.
Yeah.
Who do you want? My gut was saying Graham Norton, but no, I think he would quite like that in the shower. Be quite a nice gift. So maybe
Jonathan
Ross.
You got a radio
Ross
in the shower, Chris?
To be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I listen to my podcast in the shower.
Oh, your own podcast? Or...
Well, No. I listen to Heidegger and Nietzsche. And I'm being serious.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah.
How long do you shower for?
Well, a little bit more than a shower. I brush my teeth, have a shave, you know.
Bit of Nietzsche.
All right. A bit of Nietzsche. We all a little bit Nietzsche in the shower, mate.
Yeah.
What are we going for?
What an image.
Norton or Wossie?
No, you're the captain, son. I've got to go to you. I don't want to drop the baton.
OK. I did initially say... Oh, I've got to think Jonathan Ross now, though.
Wossie.
Yeah, go Jonathan Ross.
Yes, Wossie. That's Wossie.
Master Jonathan Ross. The answer is Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, no, we don't know who he is.
Home or away, Plymouth Argyle.
Well, we clearly don't know anything about sport.
We clearly don't know anything about sport. And then showbiz was tough as well.
It was tough.
To be honest with you, I don't know anything about anything so far, but...
Should we do sport again?
Let's do sport again. I wanted you to say it so that I can take the responsibility.
Right, and Josh Whittaker, we've gone for sport. Here is Danny Mills with the quote.
He was certainly full of it, calling me boss and big man. We had a drink, but if it would help if his greetings were accompanied by a decent glass of wine. What he gave me was paint stripper.
Yeah.
There we are. Was it A, Arsene Wenger, B, Jurgen Klopp, C, Alex Ferguson?
Yeah.
Go on, I'm very sure.
I thought it was, I couldn't remember which way it was, but I thought it was Ferguson talking about Mourinho or the other way. So Mourinho's not an option. Mm. Am I not right in saying that Wenger didn't do the wine thing? That was like one of the reasons the other managers didn't like him.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I think go with Fergie.
Fergie talking.
He likes
Fergie,
wine.
Natalie, what's the most expensive bottle of wine you've ever had a drink of?
I don't know.
Well, we're just trying to learn a bit more about you here, Natalie.
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Do you go in for expensive wine?
No, I'm very much, less than a tenner for a bottle of wine from the supermarket.
All right.
If I go with my brother, though, he does think he's a bit of a connoisseur when it comes to wine.
Looking at 10, 15 quid a bottle?
No. He's quite happy to splash the cash on a bottle of wine. I haven't a clue, so.
No clue.
Just go with what he says.
My father-in-law once gave me a bottle of whiskey that he'd had at the back of his cupboard for about 5 years. He went, I don't drink whiskey, you can have this. And I looked it up and it was worth 600 quid.
What? Oh. Did you tell him or did you swipe the bottle?
Unfortunately, I'd opened it.
Oh, no.
Bit of a shame. Charlie. Anyway, he was certainly full of it, calling me boss and big man when we had a drink. But it would help if his greetings were accompanied by a decent glass of wine. What he gave me was paint stripper, Wenger, Klopp or Ferguson?
Ferguson.
Gone for Ferguson. The answer is Ferguson.
Yes.
So one more round of this. We're going to go to West Ham, Chris and Ewan. Home or away, sport or showbiz?
We need some points, so we're going to go home on this one.
You're going to go home, so you're going to go for sport. Here we go with the final quote from Danny Mills.
Kill them with success and bury them with a smile.
Kill them with success and bury them with a smile. Who said that? Was it Usain Bolt, Roy Keane or Matt Holland?
Roy Keane would never smile anywhere, would he? So that can't be it. Bolt would bury them with... Kill them with a what? Success.
Kill them with success and bury them with a smile. Usain Bolt, Roy Keane, Matt Holland.
Maybe it is Roy Keane.
Yeah, mate, let's go to Roy Keane.
I'd say Keane, yeah.
Keane.
Roy Keane, the answer is Usain Bolt.
No.
Lies!
No, he said it.
Lies!
It's not a lie, it's written in front of me. Have either of you met Usain Bolt?
Yes, number of times, yeah.
Is he a nice guy?
Yeah.
Tell us he's a nice
Big
man.
Big man, lovely man.
Yeah, really nice. I mean, that's really after nice. Me, wasn't obviously. Yeah.
That's not what you were saying in the green room before.
Really going in for
yeah,
you,
you said he was an idiot and slow.
So the scores at the end of that round are Plymouth Argyle 11, West Ham 7. So after the break, we'll be slaughtering another sacred sporting cow. But before that, take a listen to this.
Yeah, I took a team to Oxford City for a pre-season game. I was manager of West Ham. And it was a lovely, sunny evening, and we started the game, and there was a guy next to the dugout, big West Ham fan. He had Hammers tattooed on his arms, and he had the earrings in, Hammers on them. And he started after about 2 minutes. Harry said, "We ain't got that Lee Chapman up front again this year. We ain't going to get a decent striker." He kept on about Chapman all first half. He wouldn't leave me alone.
There we are. The question is, what did Harry do next? All will be revealed next on Glory Hunters.
If history repeats itself, I should think we can expect the same thing again.
This is Glory Hunters on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker, the show which aims to find the smartest celebrity fans in football. Each week, our guests represent the side they've always supported in a bid to progress to the next round. Today's fixture is West Ham versus Plymouth Argyle. I know, and if that doesn't say Super Sunday, I don't know what does. On the team sheet for West Ham are Chris Akabusi and Ewan Thomas, whilst Natalie Sawyer and Josh Widdicombe are representing Plymouth Argyle. I find it very difficult to say, sticks in my throat. But now, before the break, we heard this.
Yeah, I took a team to Oxford City for a pre-season game. I was manager of West Ham. And, it was a lovely, sunny evening. And we started the game, and there was a guy next to the dugout, big West Ham fan. He had Hammers tattooed on his arms, and he had the earrings in, Hammers on them. And he started after about 2 minutes. Harry said, "We ain't got that Lee Chapman up front again this year. We ain't going to get a decent striker." He kept on about Chapman all first half. He wouldn't leave me alone.
The question is, what did Harry do next? Chris, it wasn't you, was it? You're a big West Ham fan.
I'm going on, boss. No worries.
What do we think Harry did next? Josh, Natalie, any ideas?
I know this anecdote.
You know the anecdote.
I don't want to take Chris's answer.
Okay, well, then let's have Chris and you answer first.
Oh, do you reckon he just fronted to him and said, "Sit yourself down, big lad, down," or gave him a book, so you go and do better. Maybe he gave him a chance to come on. If it was a pre-season friendly.
Gave him a shirt.
Yeah, maybe go on, he gave him a shirt. He gave him a shirt, yeah.
Maybe.
He said, "Andy Cow ain't doing very well. Had the shirt, son."
go on, he gave him a run out.
The old double XL from the club shop.
Yeah.
Put him on the, gave him a run out. Josh, you say you know the anecdote.
I think he gave him a run out. Oh, he brought him on.
That's what they said.
Yeah, and then he scored. The guy scored. Yeah.
That's what you think happened.
No. I think.
Natalie, any advance?
Well, I was thinking maybe Harry asked where he gets his tattoos from. He wanted to have his own tattoo done, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be a nice idea, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be a nice idea. But which one do you want to go with, Natalie, your team captain?
Well, Josh was very confident, so I'm going to go with what Josh said.
Well, Chris Akabusi and Ewan Thomas, they said they brought him on, not knowing the anecdote. It's pretty good. And you say he brought him on and scored. Let's find out from Harry Redknapp.
So subs go on. Got no more subs. After 2 minutes, we get an injury. So now I've only got 10 men. So I turned to him. He's still shouting at me. I went, "Oi," I said, "can you play as good as you talk?" He said, "I'm better than that Chapman." I went, "Come on then, get your gear on. We'll have a look at you." He went, "What do you mean?" I said, "You're playing." He said, "Who for?" I said, "Well, West Ham." He said, "I ain't got any boots." I said, "What size are you?" He said, "Nines." I said to Eddie, the kit man, "Eddie, get him a pair of boots." Takes him up the changing room. He gets changed, he comes waddling back, he's got feet like this, right? Skinhead, tattoos everywhere, earrings in. Gets to the touch, he's coming on. He said, where do you want me to play? I said, "Go up front." I said, "I want to see if you're better than Lee Chapman." The guy comes down, true story, from the tannoy system, the assistant, come down, he wants to announce on the tannoy who's coming on, so the people know who's on. He said, "Harry, who's the sub? Who's number 16? I said, "Who's number 16? I said, "Ain't you been watching the World Cup? Chichi Shoaib, the Bulgarian striker." He went, "Oh, I thought it was him." And he came on, played up front. He came on, played up front, scored a goal. And I've got to be honest, on the night, he was better than Chapman.
Harry read that. No, a brilliant West Ham anecdote. Well, for not knowing the anecdote, for not knowing the story, if you're guess, I'm going to give you 10 goals.
Oh! I'm loving you.
For knowing the anecdote, but for Chris Akabusi and Ewan not knowing it and telling it better, I'm going to give you 9 goals.
Oh, hey.
That's just how it works on Glory Hunters. Yeah. Now, next up, I want each of you to abandon your principles and go all out for glory in the round that we call
Sporting Heretics.
You'll each have to deliver a piece of pure sporting blasphemy as you lay waste to a sacred cow of my choosing. Quite simply, the more horrified, shocked and disgusted I am, the more you will score. Josh, you're going to start first.
OK.
And you're going to start with this. There is nothing wrong with a half and half scarf.
Correct. I'm actually an owner of a half and half scarf. And I will tell you now, Charlie, you as a Torquay United fan, were you to get to play Liverpool in the third round of the FA Cup and get a day out at Anfield, how would you commemorate your day out at Anfield?
Pure Torquay full kit.
Pure Torquay full kit. There's only one item that tells you you were at a specific match, and that is a half and half scarf. No one's a programme. They're total, you know, they're rubbish. No one wants a... It's just a load of Wikipedia put on glossy pages, isn't it, a programme? I love a half and half scarf. I've got it. It's in my drawer. It's one of my favourite bits of... There are misjudged ones. I saw an MK Dons and AFC Wimbledon one, which is a misjudged one. But I don't have a problem. I don't understand what the problem is. I don't... You know, it doesn't mean you're going to support both teams. It means you want something to remember the match by. You're not putting it on and cheering on football and saying, may the best team win. And I do believe that were Torquay to play Liverpool, were Brentford, Natalie, to play Real Madrid, Chris, were West Ham to play someone bigger than them, like Plymouth Argyle, I think you would get a half and half scarf.
Well, the point of this round is to outrage me, and I am fully outraged.
Yeah, I thought it would.
They are my least favourite thing.
I genuinely believe it, Charlie. I'm not even like pretending. I'm not trying to wind you up. Well, I just think it's...
I think
I heard you
sound like
say it's the worst thing about the modern game. It's not the worst thing. Have you seen West Ham's ground?
You sound like a football tourist. Oh, we're just happy to be here. That's why you didn't beat Liverpool that day.
That's because we're rubbish.
But look, the point of the round is to outrage me, and you did that, so I'm going to give you 9 out of 10 goals. There we are. Ewan. Ewan, diving is an art form.
Oh, it's a total art form. Tom Daly's been diving since about the... he's from your neck of the woods, 3 years of age. At the Olympics, he gets a number of opportunities. Footballers who dive should be celebrated. Listen, if you do it well and you can get away with it, it's a skill. We all know dedication and skill and hard work that has to go into performing something so well that no one knows it's actually a dive. You haven't really not been tripped. So I think it should be celebrated. For people who do it properly, well done. I salute you. It should be allowed on the football pitch and we should celebrate it. A good one.
Beautiful answer. You made it sound almost artistic. And you may be not too annoyed about diving, which is a problem, isn't it? Because what I'm going to give you is 6 goals.
Six.
Okay. It's a very, very good answer.
Tom Daly gets more than 6.
He does get more than 6. Natalie, there's nothing fake about wrestling.
No, professional wrestling is a sport. At the end of the day, sport is all about winners and losers. You get that in wrestling. Perhaps the fights are a little planned, but isn't there match fixing in a lot of sports anyway? We know that wrestling is a little bit scripted, but then the fans themselves don't genuinely know what's going to happen. You might have an idea, but you seriously don't know who's going to win. Wrestlers train incredibly hard, probably even harder than other athletes, let's be fair on that. And the chances of injury are pretty high, even though some might suggest there is an element of choreography to it. If you get it wrong, you could be seriously injured in that ring. So I think wrestling, it might be theatrical, it might be overblown, but there is certainly no fakery to it because there's danger involved and there's a winner and a loser.
Well, it's a good answer, Natalie, but unfortunately, I agree with you, which means I'm in no way outraged.
Oh, you love wrestling?
Because I like wrestling.
Oh.
But the thing about, as my good friend Will Hodgson says, it is fixed, not fake. So they are definitely still fighting, but it is fixed. So you're absolutely right. So I'm going to give you 2 goals. A very low score, but for no outrage whatsoever. there we are. Chris, we come to you playing for West Ham. And I'm going to say to you is that we shouldn't keep the score.
Definitely shouldn't keep the score. What's that all about? I mean, where the focus goes, the energy flows. Why are we thinking about the score? No, all need to have prizes. It's about just enjoying the game, kicking it about, flicks, taps, showboating, make it a nice communal feel. I don't like the idea that you've got this partisan stuff, that you've got them and us. It's about them against us, it's us. It's a community spirit. What I love is you lose the bigger picture when you keep the score. You know, you focus on the minutiae. You miss the ballet and the poetry, and you miss the harmony. And you start cheating and the schadenfreude and the ill feeling and the egocentricity. We know that football is about the community spirit, collaboration, and all must have prices. Bin the score!
Yeah, very, very mean. I think you may have listened to one too many Nietzsche podcasts. I don't know. Maybe just dial it back a little bit on the old Nietzsche. I did really disagree with you. It's up there with the half and half scarf not keeping score. You did a really good job of winding me up in that round, because I like any score, a nil-nil even. You don't even keep a nil-nil.
No, it's not about that. It's about the poetry, it's about the interaction, the community. Everyone laughs, speaking the same language. Over to you, son. No, over to you, son. After you, no, after you. Can you do that? I can do that. Do this. Hey, big boy out of the crowd. Over to that fella. In you come, son. On you, head, son. It's about that.
So what if you'd got no medal? At the Olympics, if everyone had got a medal?
It's not,
if they hadn't kept your time, you quoted Ewan's time earlier on. What if they hadn't kept any times?
You know what? We got you wrong. What's supposed to happen, really, is everyone piles in. Crowd, administrators, referees. When I blow the whistle, you go. When I stop, you stop. And that's it.
And that's it.
That's it, yeah.
That's
done.
The end of it.
And great game.
Party.
Oh, we had a party.
It's a great game. And so because of that, you don't want to score kept. So I won't give you any goals, because you don't want any score.
There we are. Hoisted by my own petard, man. Hoisted by my own petard. Sorry. He's done with your kipper!
It's a new rule on the Glory Hunters, which is called the Akabusi rule. I'll give you five.
Thank you, sir.
I'll give you five. At the end of that round, the scores, not the Chris Kerrs, the scores are Plymouth 31, West Ham 28. Still to come, we travel back to a momentous moment in each club's history. And yes, we've managed to find one for Plymouth. Unbelievable. That's next on Talk Sport.
I'm not an alcoholic. I only drink two times a year, when it's my birthday and when it's not my birthday.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time now for a round we're calling Back in the Day. We're going to travel back to a landmark year in both clubs' history. Now, Chris and Ewan, we're going to go back to 1975.
Get in! Oh. Taylor!
Do you know what happened?
Yeah, come on!
Okay, and FA Cup glory.
I really hope it's not that.
2-0, Fulham, Alan Taylor, call a taxi. Fulham, see ya. Anyway, tell me
this. There we are, Chris and Ewan. We're going back to 1975. Get in, Taylor! And FA Cup glory for West Ham.
Jennings. Alan Taylor. Right through Peter Mellor. Patton again. Patsy Holland, who started the goal move through the fullback's mistake. Patton found space. And Taylor again!
There we are, Alan Taylor, scoring both goals for West Ham in their 2-0 victory against Fulham in the 1975 FA Cup final. But what else do you remember of that year, Chris And you?
A year? Yes. I joined the army in 1975.
I don't think that's one of the... I mean, if it is, we have done a very good job.
Anyway, I can't imagine you keeping quiet in a war zone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Give yourself away with that laugh.
Here we go. 1975, question one. This was a time when teams recorded a single ahead of the final, and West Ham's was this. Everybody now.
Pretty bubbles in the air.
Oi, oi.
There we are. I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles, of course. What I want to know is where did that get in the charts in the summer of 75?
I bet that did all right, you
was
know.
Was it A, number 42, B, number 31,
ooh,
C, 28? 42, number 31, or number 28?
28.
Go on, 28.
Going for number 28. The answer is number 31. Oh, no see. Goals. Question two. If the West Ham team of 1975 didn't have the biggest selling single of the year, who did? Was it A, the Bay City Rollers?
Bye, bye, baby, don't make me cry. Baby, bye, bye.
Was it B, Rod Stewart? Or was it C, Queen?
Bismillah, we will not let you go. Let him go. Bismillah, we will not let you go. Let me go.
So who had the biggest selling single of 1975? Basically, Rollers, Rod Stewart or Queen?
I'd say basically Rollers.
I'd say basically Roll-Ups, but you know what? I think they were earlier than that. I think the Roll-Ups were about 72.
Rollers.
Yeah.
Chain of cigarettes. Roll-Ups.
Best tribute act of all time.
Basically Roll-Ups. Yeah,
they were later than that.
And I think the Roll-Ups were earlier than that. I think it's 72, 72. Yeah. Actually, you used to call them a school, it? The Roll-Ups, yeah. Basically Roll-Ups.
Rod Stewart or Queen? I don't think Bohemian Rhapsody got to number one for some reason. I think it was successful.
Going to push you for an answer?
I'd go Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart, then.
We've gone for Rod Stewart. The answer is the Bay City Rollers.
Oh, no!
Okay. I'm not listening to Chris anymore.
Set me.
Question three. A few examples there of crimes against music that were rife in the mid-70s. Thank God someone tried to restore law and order with the advent of which TV cop show that year? Was it A, The Bill? B, The Sweeney? Or was it C, The Professionals? So, which TV cop show came out that year?
Not the Bill. I was a kid when that came out. I remember watching it.
The Bill, Sweeney or The Professionals?
Either Sweeney or Professionals, but I'm not listening to Chris anymore.
Yeah.
Sweeney.
Gone for The Sweeney. The Sweeney. It is The Sweeney.
Oh, well done, you, son.
There we are. And in that round, one goal. Natalie and Josh, we're going to go back to 2002.
Oh.
When Plymouth Argyle were crowned third division champions.
Certainly were. Great year.
Yeah, did Brian McGlinchey play for you in that?
Yeah, I think more or less. Yeah, it's Paul Sturrock era.
Just Devon chat there. OK, Plymouth fans in fine voice there, having won the third division title. And as you've no doubt worked out, it's also the only clip we can find of that moment. There's nothing else around, Josh. That's it. It's all we've got.
Perfect.
Did you go to any of those games that season?
Yeah, I did. I just moved to Manchester. Oh. So I went to all the away games. Went to, like, Bury.
And Stockport County.
Yeah, Port Vale. I think that might have been the next year. But, yeah, some great places.
Okay, so that was 2002. What else?
Rochdale on a Hangover is one of the worst experiences I've ever had.
Sounds like a 70s prog rock group. Rochdale on a Hangover. What else do you remember from 2002? Natalie, are you ready? Here we go. Question one. 2002 was also the year of this.
Hold the cups and the glasses back home. You can smash them now. Beckham has scored for England. 44 minutes and he's done it again.
That's irresponsible easy. From John Watson.
It was
be smashing glasses.
The World Cup was staged in South Korea and Japan, but what was the official England song for that tournament?
Ooh.
Is it A, Embrace?
It's coming, it's coming you now.
Was it B, The Spice Girls featuring Ian McCulloch?
So how does it feel to be on
Or was it C, Ant and Deck? So what do we think? 2002?
Spice Girls weren't still together in 2002. They broke up in 1999, as everyone knows.
Were you a massive fan
Pop
of Spice
quiz?
No, but no, I'm not. But, you know, come on. If every single's good, how can you not be a fan?
Natalie, were you a Spice Girls fan?
I like Josh. Some of their songs I liked.
Okay.
Can't say I particularly liked them.
Oh.
But not just, you know, some of their songs were all right.
Sawyer in Spice Girls Hate. Front page, Monday morning.
Let's move on.
We are Embrace.
So that
the
one,
Spice
that,
Girls,
that
featuring Ian McCullough, Ant and Dec.
So that leaves Ant and Dec and Embrace. Now, I think it was... I remember that Ant and Dec being a thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they still are.
They still are. No.
Were they not technically PJ and Duncan?
Were they not PJ and Duncan then?
No, that's Biker Grove.
I don't think Embrace were a big enough deal in 2002 to be
No, they might have been earlier.
Yeah. So they'd be
Should we do Ant and Dec then?
Should we do Ant and
Dec? Yeah, we'll go Ant and Dec.
Gone Ant and Dec. The answer is Ant and Dec.
Oh,
the other two were 1998. You think it's easier, do you? Okay, yeah. Sorry, Chris. Question two, which
But you don't care about the score.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not just fun.
Just get involved.
Exactly. Well, it's just for fun, flicks and ballet. Right, and poetry. Question two, which of these three did not make their debut this year? A, the Euro. B, Darren Bent. C, the SARS epidemic.
Keep it light, Charlie.
Just how it is. A lot of people think all these three things are similar, especially in parts of Sunderland. But which of these three did not make their debut this year?
Oh, mate.
The Euro, Darren Bent, the SARS epidemic.
The randomness of Darren Bent is in
there.
So
two of them did, 2002.
Yes.
I think that is the ballpark for the Euro, isn't it? I don't know much. Darren Bent. When was he around?
I know, exactly.
Should we just go with Darren Bent?
I think
he's earlier.
Let's do 2000. Let's do him. Let's do Darren Bent.
I think Darren Bent made his debut in 2002. Is incorrect. The correct answer is the SARS epidemic.
SARS was only about 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Bring it back. The SARS epidemic. Great punk band. Okay, here we go. Question three. The term Bushism entered common usage in 2002 following President George W. Bush's unique turn of phrase, but which of his gaffes was voted his best by US political pundits? Was it?
Rarely is the question asked, is our children learning?
Or perhaps?
I remember meeting a mother of a child who was abducted by the North Koreans right here in the Oval Office.
Or finally?
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so were we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Which of his gaffes was voted the best by US political pundits?
Looking back now, he doesn't seem as bad in the current climate.
The good old days.
Good old days. That was all we had to worry about.
I'm very happy. Yeah. I don't know. They're all terrific.
I think the only one I've remembered listening to it was the harm our country one.
Mm.
So that's all I've got to go on.
Well, let's go with that.
That felt like the big one.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Gonna do that and, well, let's find out. Here's the clip.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
There we are. That was his best gaff by US political pundits. And at the end of that round, the scores are Plymouth Argyle 33, West Ham United 29. Here on Glory Hunters, we like to probe in areas other shows shy away from. And that's why we do this. Health and safety may dictate otherwise, but the general public have been let loose in our studio and our panel have absolutely no idea what questions they will ask as we play A Question of Sport Time. So, you, sir, can we have our first question, please? Hello, I'd like to ask the panel, who have you met from the world of sport that you're in total awe of? Oh, what a great question. Who have you met from the world of sport you're in total awe of, other than Chris Akabusi, Ewan?
I've met a few. Beckham, Bolt, Mourinho was someone back in the day when he was a special one. I was wow, he had something about him. I almost had a man crush on him, I must admit. But for me, I played football with Gazza. And It was at Majeski Stadium, Help for Heroes. He came across towards me and I was on the phone to my mate. I went, oh my God, Gazza's coming. I put the phone down and he knew who I was and I was absolutely buzzing. He went, you and the athlete? I went, yeah. He said, oh, I watched you on a programme on Channel 5 called The Diet Doctors. You had to eat red meat for a whole month and you farted on TV. So funny. And I just thought, oh, my God, he knows who I am and he's seen me pass wind on TV. Gazza was the one person I met who I was in awe of when I met him.
Yeah, oh, yeah, great answer. Natalie, obviously we know Pelé. We've had that in Glory Hunters. Anyone else?
Well, I have been privileged to meet a lot of people. Like we mentioned David Beckham already. Tim Henman, I had a bit of a thing about Tim Henman when I was a bit younger.
Okay.
So when I met him, I was just quite excited to meet him. And it was lovely. It was very charming.
There's a picture of him in my local curry house.
Is there?
Having a curry, yeah.
Oh. It's
nice, isn't
it? Well, he's from around your neck of the woods, where you live.
Telling the listeners where I live. Are we, Natalie? No.
I was very clever in stopping myself. but Sir Bobby Charlton, I met him.
Oh, that's a good one.
And wow. He was lovely.
Josh, you've interviewed a lot, so you've had loads of famous people on The Last Leg.
Any big sporting
legends or on your or on your podcast?
On The Last Leg, I don't think I found them too intimidating. We had Ewan on actually, but that was fine. He just didn't really deliver as a guest. But,
I was on when it started.
I remember when he started. 2012.
I think one of the most intimidated is I did a radio panel show about music, and I was on with Jimmy White. Who I was a huge fan of Jimmy White and was very kind of nervous at meeting Jimmy White.
What music was Jimmy White into?
Big fan, he's a big mate of Ronnie Woods, so he's like a big fan of Rolling Stones.
Okay.
So he's mainly into the Rolling Stones. And it got to this point, so at the end of the thing, he got into the final against someone else, and the other two contestants had to judge who was the winner. And it came to me, and I said, I thought this was funny. I said, well, I don't want to be responsible for Jimmy White losing another final.
Yes.
And he looked at me like I ripped out his heart.
Don't you judge me, Natalie.
I thought, come on, that's his calling card, losing finals. Come on.
That's his thing.
That's what we all got.
That's his shtick. Yeah. That's what he's got now.
Yeah. Oh, there we are. That was sad.
Chris Akabusi, hit us up. Who's your biggest sporting icon for yourself that you've met?
It's a no-brainer for me. I watched the Olympic Games in 1980, and there was a guy for United Kingdom with a load of swagger. He's got 4 world records, 2 Olympic Gs. It's the one and only Mr. Daley Thompson. Mm. And I remember watching him in Moscow, and everyone said, OK, well, the Americans weren't there. And then he goes to LA in 84. I was on the same team in 84. And he walks in again with a load of swagger, does it again. This time he's whistling on the podium and stuff. He's doing back somersaults. And that was my guy. And then he said to us we could go out and train with him in 1986. I couldn't believe it. So all of us went out in 86 to go and train in LA. And of course, Daley's competitive and everything. So we're training with him and then we start playing cards. And the one who's got the most money wins the most money. Anyway, I'm sure I'm going to do him this time. I've got a lovely run in my hand here. Ken Joe Green. He's going, Akabusi, don't do it, don't do it. He says, I'm going to take your car. I'm going to take your house. Don't do it, don't do it. I say, OK, I'm going to have him. Ken Joe Green. He goes, Pilot Ace is on the bounce. He's on the table. Cowabunga, baby. I tell you what, I love meeting Mr. T. He the man.
There we are. Daley. Four superb answers. I'm going to give you 10 goals each. They're all such good answers. Can we have the next question, please? You, sir. I'd like to ask the panel which year they think was the best for football or sport in general. Ewan, let's come back to you.
Okay, with football, for me, growing up, and we're a similar age, so I hope you like this one, it's got to be Italia 90. Ooh, you know, Waddle, good, yeah. Parker, Gazza, Lineker, David Platt, that little spinning kick. It was just a great time to like football and to watch England. Yeah, they didn't win. It wasn't 66 the World Cup, but I think the way it galvanised a nation, it was the first time that I felt really passionate about football. I think Italia 90. But it's probably not the best year overall for sport.
But for football. And thinking about it makes me feel young again.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
Good, Ewan. I'm going to give you 9 goals.
Oh.
Chris Akabusi.
Yeah, so for me, it's a no-brainer. 1966, World Cup. I was a long kid, got to Butlins, and World Cup Willie and all that. And I wanted to be Bobby Moore. And the thing is, I went to Butlins, and Redcoat said to me, you can't be... I mean, look, I'm not taking this. He said, you can't be Bobby Moore. Why? Because you're black. And I'm laughing and joking, because I didn't really get it then. But I remember just being part and parcel of the team, World Cup Willy, changing all the cards and stuff, and wanting to be Bobby Moore. Well, I couldn't be Bobby Moore, but I follow his team.
Yeah, very, very good. Well done. I'm going to give you 9 goals.
Thank you very much, sir.
9 more goals for West Ham. Josh Widdicombe, what's the best year for football, Josh?
Best year for football.
Or sport in general, that was the question.
Football and sport in general. Do you want it?
Yeah.
1996.
1996.
We've already had Keegan's freak out. That was 1996. Euro 96, the greatest tournament of my childhood. Euro 96, home tournament, so close. Glorious defeat, that's better than winning it, isn't it? 1996, Gazza getting that close to the ball, oh. Anderson hitting the post. Plymouth Argyle 1, Darlington 0 in the playoff final. Who can forget that?
Beautiful. Who did forget that? Anyone?
No one has ever
Who
forgotten
can remember that.
Australia lost in the final of the Cricket World Cup. That's a positive. Pete Sampras, here's a bit of trivia. The only year from 1993 to 2000 that he lost a match at Wimbledon, 1996. And who can forget the Atlanta Olympics?
Who can?
I can't remember anything about it.
One thing about Atlanta. Was that the Lionel Richie one? No, that was LA, wasn't it?
LA, yeah.
Who can forget it? Not me.
Who can forget it? It was an excellent answer, although you did make me remember the Gazza miss again.
Yeah, but that's a glorious defeat.
So
that's what
take
builds
two
our
goals
character.
Off for that. So I'm going to give you 8 goals. Ooh. Josh Widdicombe, Natalie Sawyer.
Oh, I'm going down a similar theme for a year of 2012 because a lot happened in that year in terms of greatness in sport. We've had the longest ever major tennis final. That was between Novak Djokovic and Rafa Nadal, lasting 5 hours and 53 minutes. Bubba Watson won the Masters. We all like a bit of Bubba on his tears. Very emotional.
That
man.
Shot out the woods for Bubba Watson. Sure. Remember, that was fantastic.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's not forget John Terry dressed in his Chelsea kit.
Oh, shin pads on.
When they won the Champions League final, despite not even playing in that match because he was suspended against Bayern Munich. Andy Murray won his first major at the US Open, having lost at Wimbledon in the summer as well. And then, of course, London 2012. Who can forget what a fabulous games that was. The record medal haul since 1908, 65 in total, 29 of them golds. And then we had Super Saturday, didn't we, with that record, that 6 gold medals. Yeah. So, yeah, 2012, that's
great
my
answer,
best
and I
year.
Agree with you, Natalie. I'm going to give you 10 goals. There we are, 10 goals. Hope that answers your question, sir. Which means at the end of that round, the scores are Plymouth Argyle 61, West Ham United 57. You're listening to Glory Hunters here on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker, where West Ham, in the shape of Chris Akabusi and Ewan Thomas, have 57 goals, and Plymouth Argyle, represented by Natalie Sawyer and Josh Widdicombe, have 61. We've hit the final round. In the dying moments of the game, we now move into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. Remember, you're up against the clock, so speed is of the essence. Losing side goes first. That is currently West Ham. Chris and Ewan, are you ready?
Yep.
Quite simply, I need you to tell me which of the following are the names of fictional footballers by answering fact or fiction. Your time starts now. Neil Shipley.
Fact.
It is a fact. Roy Race.
Fiction.
It is fiction. Santiago Muniz.
Fact.
Incorrect. Emerson.
Fact.
Correct. Sergio Canales.
Fact.
Correct. Corporal Luis Fernandez.
Fiction.
Correct. Didier Baptiste.
Fact.
Fiction. Ollie Watkins.
Fact.
Correct. Johnny Dexter.
Fiction.
Correct. Steve Stone.
Fact.
Correct. Hamish Balfour.
Fiction.
Correct. Billy the Fish.
Fiction.
Billy Sharp.
Fact.
Correct. Billy Dane.
Fiction.
He is fiction. Billy's Boots. Tony DiRigo.
Fact.
Correct. Jess Bamra.
Fiction.
Correct. Bendy like Beckham. Andy Sinton.
Fact.
Yes. Captain John Colby.
Fiction.
Correct. David Batty.
Fact.
Correct.
Get in! Right there! 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 Right there!
The score doesn't matter unless you're winning.
It's too easy. It's just too easy. Congratulations. So at the end of that round, you scored 17 goals, which takes you under 74.
Yes, brilliant.
Next up, it's Natalie and Josh. You have 60 seconds to tell me which of the following are the names of real non-league teams.
Oh, no, that doesn't matter. We're talking about real sport, mate.
Real non-league teams. Your time starts now. Woodstock Sports.
True.
Correct. Exmoor Existentialists.
That's false.
Yeah.
False. Glengow Rangers.
True.
It's false. Tottenford Rovers.
False.
It is false. Norton and Stockton Ancients.
True.
Grimsby Gomorrah.
Ooh. False.
It is false. Crouch End Vampires.
False.
True. Alfetown Hotcakes.
False, but I want it to be true.
It is false. Thurnby Nirvana.
False.
It's true. Prince's Park.
True.
It's false. Sutton Simpatico.
False.
It is false. Romulus.
True.
Swindon Supermarine.
True.
Roman Glass St. George.
False.
It's true. Melchester Rovers.
That's false.
It is false. Wicklow Wickerman. And there is the end of the round, but I'm afraid it was false, the last one.
Oh, get in!
It means at the end of that round, you scored 11 points.
Oh! The score doesn't matter unless you win, boys!
So at the end of that round, you scored 11, which means the final scores are Plymouth Argyle 73, and in a shock comeback, West Ham United, Chris Akabusi and Ewan Summers
scored
74 goals.
Well played.
They are forever blowing bubbles. There we are. A bland, empty post-match reaction. Oh. Natalie, Josh.
Heartbroken.
Yeah. We'll pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off and go again.
Okay, that's nice to know. Chris, Ewan, happy?
Brilliant. Absolutely love sport and the score is fantastic. Forget what I said.
What I like is your humbling victory.
So, to our winners, we say...
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
And for the losers,
I just thought it was a jumble of junk. You know, they've got to get a grip of this guy, you know, because he just seems to be out of control to me.
Join us at the same time next Sunday, and until then, from myself, Charlie Baker, and everyone here, Josh Widdicombe, Natalie Sawyer, Ewan Thomas, and Chris Akabusi, it's goodbye.
A bit of a Ron Burgundy moment. I thought I'm going to pause there.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.